Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Stoker. This is going to be a fun one. For all you Swifties out there, it is finally time. We will be covering the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. I want you to know, first of all, how this idea was hatched. I would love to pretend that your host, Adam, had this brilliant idea to talk about Taylor Swift and her impact on the destination marketing industry, but I need to make sure that I give credit to Julie Sheffield. Julie runs our podcast team here at Relic and does an incredible job, and she had this brilliant idea, and I also need to let you know that that is specifically in the script here, that she had a brilliant idea to do an episode about the Eras Tour and Taylor Swift's impact on the destination marketing industry. So what you're going to hear today is a couple of destinations that were able to host one of Taylor Swift's concerts in their destination, talk about the preparation, the impact, the experience on the day of the event, the phenomenon that it is. And I think we'll all be able to learn a little bit about the importance of when something like this happens to your destination, don't let it happen to you, but make sure that you are approaching it directly and making sure that you're intentionally building a strategy to maximize the impact. I think, you know, another great example of something like this is I've talked to a lot of destinations when the eclipse comes to town. And maybe that would even be another really interesting episode to do. But when the solar eclipse happens, all of a sudden you have thousands and thousands of people in your destination just because you're in the path of where the best place to view the eclipse would be. And a lot of destinations will make the mistake of just letting that happen, letting it happen to them, and then not capitalizing on the opportunity and building a relationship with those visitors. These destinations that we'll talk about today were faced with that same type of situation with Taylor Swift coming to the destination, and they didn't just let it happen to them. They had a very intentional strategy and did an incredible job of planning, executing, and maximizing the impact of Taylor Swift's presence in the destination. So without further ado, I want to dive into our interviews. We've got two of them, and the first one is Choose Chicago. And I've got Isaac Reichman, and he's the director of corporate communications here. And he's going to give us the inside scoop on everything Eras Tour in Chicago. Isaac, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What in the world does it mean when you find out that Taylor Swift is coming to your city?
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's always exciting. It's, you know, as the third biggest city in the country in Chicago, we fully expect to be on a tour. So when the tour is announced, you know, we know that there's going to be Chicago stops. But we also know that, you know, nobody excites locals and visitors quite like Taylor Swift. So always exciting. It was so exciting to have her for three shows this past summer.
Awesome. Awesome. So a lot of our fans out there are Swifties, and we decided, you know what, we've got to look at this. And the reason it's a fascinating case study for me is I think as destinations in general, a lot of times we will look at the traditional items that impact travel and tourism, and we market in kind of our normal way. And then you get this massive anomaly that is completely different from what happens in a normal year or whatever. And I think you in Chicago, you've got the benefit of being one of the largest cities and knowing you're probably going to be on a tour, but it completely changes the way you have to plan. And so I'm curious, once you knew what the schedule was, once you knew what the dates were, how did your team jump into action? What was the planning like? And a little bit of the lead up.
Yeah. So what really made Taylor Swift's tour interesting in Chicago is, you know, this was the first weekend in June when Taylor Swift came through. And typically when you have a concert like that, that's the main driver that weekend. But this weekend happened to be the same weekend as ASCO, you know, Alliance for or the American Society of Clinical Oncologists, and the James Beard Awards. So two major annual things happening in Chicago every year. Taylor Swift's not planning around those. But here in Chicago, we had a lot of work to make sure our hotel partners were prepared, transportation providers, everybody across the city that's involved in hospitality and tourism. They needed to know, hey, we've got 40,000 oncologists, plus we've got a packed Soldier Field for 3 days of Swifties, and we have foodies in town for James Beard Awards. You know, you better be prepared. You better have all your staff ready for an incredible weekend. Lots of positives, obviously, but also be prepared for, you know, back-to-back restaurants, be prepared to be full, just making sure everybody was prepared for that weekend.
Awesome. And I mean, I think it's pretty normal for when there's an announcement like this, you kind of got that moment where the team is a little bit starstruck and super excited that it's happening, right? And then you've got the moment that they kind of jump into action and this, the starstruckedness, which really isn't a word, but that kind of wears off, right? And the team gets going. And so I'm curious, you know, how long was that period of the team being starstruck and excited? And how long did it take for you guys to go into planning mode?
You know, here in Chicago, we are always ready to plan, ready to move. So, I think we shifted pretty quickly, both us at Choose Chicago coordinating with our hotel partners, but also our partners over in the city. The logistics that goes into a mega concert like that is it's no small feat putting something like that together from the, you know, police perspective and all that. So there was, you know, I think we hit the ground running pretty quickly, converting to, you know, the planning mode there. And, you know, obviously we're not planning these mega concerts, but last summer was full of a lot of major shows really having their first big tour post COVID. So there was a lot of opportunity for that all summer.
Yeah. And you mentioned you're not the one planning these shows. And I think in traditional government or quasi-government organizations, there's a little bit of a tendency to look at it and say, hey, that's not my job, right? Like, we're not the ones planning the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. And so some of this we don't have to worry about. But the problem in a DMO, and I know you guys recognize this, that's why you jumped into action, is that so much of the experience that these Swifties and even these oncologists and the foodies that are coming to town the same weekend, that experience is going to be part of the perception of Choose Chicago's brand. And so how do you decide, first of all, what's your responsibility and what's not as an organization, and then prioritize and decide what needs to be done?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because again, we're not providing city services. We are not that organization, but we kind of think of ourselves a little bit as the conveners and the information sharers. Like, we have a responsibility. Everybody around the city knows that Taylor Swift is in town. Not everybody knows about the clinical oncologist, right? Because that's just, it's not as, we're here to talk about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, they don't have the same kind of recognition or fanfare.
No, there isn't, local bars having specials for the... but it's our responsibility to share that information, to really convene the folks that are, ready to prepare for these major events, and to make sure they're prepared, to make sure information is communicated in a timely manner. And again, our major stakeholders are the local hotels, and to make sure they're prepared and have all the information they need. Because, as I said, it was a record-setting weekend, but that was only because everybody was prepared for it to be that.
Got it. Okay. So you did all this work to prepare everybody. You guys kind of grasped the gravity of this. And then you went out and started preparing the other departments and other organizations and all the stakeholders that were going to need to be involved. How well did people grasp the impact that this was going to have before it happened? And the reason I'm asking that question, I just want to make sure that I'm being clear here. Were people overwhelmed, or were they well prepared, or was it a mixture of both?
I think they were well prepared. And I remember in the days leading up to it that we were hearing from our hotels that, hey, we are sold out across the board. This is going to be an incredible weekend. Like, we went into that weekend thinking we were going to set records, and we did. So it wasn't too much of a surprise. I think there was both, everyone was well prepared. I will just say, Chicago knows how to throw major events. This isn't our first rodeo. I don't know if it's true, but we claim to have the largest gathering in the United States of all time after the Cubs won the World Series. So we're used to this. So it isn't too heavy of a lift to have concerts like this. But there was such a sense of optimism and excitement across the city that weekend. I think the timing of it, first weekend in June, so you're right at the beginning of summer. Everyone's excited about summer. It was a beautiful weather weekend. And as I mentioned earlier, this was the first time we've had these mega concerts since COVID. So there was a lot of this sort of bottled up emotion getting out that weekend in a really positive way. And I remember I was lucky enough to go to one of the nights of Taylor Swift.
Nice.
And I remember just walking, I walked along the lakefront to Soldier Field, and you had that interesting dichotomy of oncologists on their way back from McCormick Place in suits with all the Swifties dressed up on their way and interacting, mingling, seeing each other. There was excitement really all over. It was a really, really positive weekend all around.
And how did the oncologists react to you choosing to go to the Taylor Swift concert instead of to the oncology conference?
You know, I don't know if I was invited to the oncologist conference. I think I'm lacking a couple of the credentials to really fit in there. I think they were excited to kind of share the weekend because, you know, they're not used to getting the coverage that Taylor Swift gets. And any interview we did, anytime that we talked about the weekend, we always said it wasn't just Taylor Swift, it was also ASCO. So they definitely got a little bit of extra publicity helping to cause this amazing weekend.
Well, and I've got to imagine the nightlife and social activities had a little bit more to offer than it did on alternate years.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's also something, you know, obviously a lot of people went to the concert, but there were specials, there were promos, there were, you know, parties in bars and restaurants all across the city that weekend that so people that even weren't at the concert were able to take part. And you know, our hospitality and tourism partners were able to really benefit from that weekend as well, even if they weren't near Soldier Field or even if they weren't directly involved in the concert.
Awesome. So, you know, we talked about just the gravity of this and the significance of having Taylor Swift come to town. You guys did a lot of planning. I'm assuming that you also had tools in place that allowed you to truly measure the impact of an event like this. I'm curious what planning took place to make sure you had the ability to measure. What tools did you use? And then what were your findings?
Yeah, so we quickly crunched our hotel numbers that weekend. We were very happy to say that it was the strongest weekend in terms of hotel room demand that Chicago has ever had. We had more hotel rooms filled and more hotel revenue that Friday and Saturday than ever before. And, you know, again, that's because of all these, you know, factors happening at once. But we can certainly say that Taylor Swift, you know, helped set records in Chicago from that weekend.
Awesome. So record-breaking weekend. Obviously, you had the reporting in place to understand the records that were broken. I think one of the questions I have is, you know, you've got Taylor Swift coming to town and you've got the impact of this event. I think you guys, because you're a city that is usually a part of the tour that sees a lot of these major events, like you said, you had the largest gathering in the U.S., at least that you're aware of, right, when the Cubs won the World Series. What advice do you have for destinations that may not have the historical or the experience that goes into this? How do you prepare when you haven't done it before, you haven't been there before?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things, the most important thing is to make sure that that any event goes off smoothly. And that's obviously way more and beyond the role of a DMO. But recognizing that the success of this event, whether it's a major convention, whether it's a concert like this, that determines, like, the success of the event itself determines its impact. So if an event is run smoothly, then the people that come to Chicago for that weekend go back and tell their friends, wow, I just had an incredible weekend in Chicago and I can't wait to go back. And that matters so much. It isn't just directly the impact of that weekend. Thinking about how that weekend can, you know, build upon itself to have a long-term impact. So I think recognizing that the DMO might have a role to convene other folks and to share information and to not, and to do more than just have the event and be excited about it. And relatedly, when you think about marketing, then how can you, from a marketing perspective, make the impact of this weekend last longer than just the event? How can you, you know, we were really intentional about sharing information following the event about how it set records, to talk to media about that, to be really public about this, because I think then that adds more excitement, gets people even more excited to go to Chicago.
I love that. Okay. So I'd love to have you speak, because I think there's an assumption in a situation like this that it's going to be super easy to just pick up the phone and call the other organizations that you're going to have to collaborate with. But I would imagine the relationships that it took in order to make those calls, those relationships were not built the week you found out that Taylor Swift was coming to town. You guys have been cultivating those relationships with other organizations in the city and surrounding area for a very long time, so that you didn't have to build a relationship at the time that you had a need. And so I'm curious, from a collaboration perspective, how do you cultivate the relationships that allow you to make that phone call and get a good reaction when they pick up the phone?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the keys is to make sure that you are communicating proactively, regularly with all of your different stakeholders, whether they be your partners at the city that provide the services, whether it's your stakeholders like hotels and restaurants, so that you have a regular cadence of communication. So when there are major events, when there is something new to share, you're not introducing yourself. You're not reaching out for the first time. It's, you know, we're really intentional about communicating with our biggest hotel partners on at least a monthly basis, if not a biweekly basis, just so they know what's coming to town, so they know what, you know, what to expect, even when there aren't anything, isn't anything major going on, so that we have that regular cadence of communication, that we're involved with the city whenever they're planning for major events. So we're not, you know, that we're there at the table, even if there isn't anything to provide, we're still maintaining that regular cadence of communication. Then when we have these major events, we're prepared, we know who to talk to and all that.
Yeah, I look at some of those types of relationships as you have to make a lot of deposits in the account of a relationship mm-hmm. before you make a withdrawal like that. And if you haven't made adequate deposits prior to that event, it's going to be very difficult to get these other organizations that have to be involved to put in the effort, put in the time, and support your brand as an organization. So it sounds like you guys did a good job of making deposits beforehand.
Yeah, certainly. And I have to thank the whole team at Choose Chicago. It's obviously way beyond my role and the communication side. But, you know, we have an incredible sales team and client services team that works so closely with our partners all across the city.
Great. And do you feel like it was a mistake to not partner with the Chicago Bears and have someone from their team date Taylor Swift the way Kansas City did?
You know what? Yes, absolutely. That's on us. I take full responsibility for not making that connection earlier.
Yeah, just for future reference, I think it'd probably be a good idea to have somebody from the local pro team date the star that's coming for the major concert. It might really help.
Missed opportunity. We'll add that to our notes for our next major concert.
I love it. So my question now is it's kind of an interesting one, but I think it'll be a good indicator of how smoothly the event went. And that's after going through all of the preparation, all of the execution, attending the event like you did, getting feedback from partners, getting feedback from attendees. I guess the question is, are you more of a Swiftie today than you were before she came?
Yes, absolutely. I think from a personal perspective, I kind of lucked into tickets through my sister-in-law and it was unbelievable. You know, she, when you go to a concert like that, you understand why records are being set. And the excitement across the whole city really had, it makes me appreciate the power of music and mega concerts and things like this, because this summer, you know, we're here to talk about Taylor Swift, but Ed Sheeran had the most tickets ever sold. The biggest crowd ever at Soldier Field was Ed Sheeran also this summer. Beyonce came. Beyonce didn't have, we didn't have the benefit of any major conventions going on that weekend. And it was the second best Saturday in the history of our hotels when Beyonce was in town. Lollapalooza had the biggest Lollapalooza it's ever had. So really seeing this summer, we didn't have a ton of, you know, odd years in Chicago are smaller for conventions than even years. So it was a pretty small summer in terms of meetings and conventions. So all of our success was driven by the leisure traveler, and many of them came to town for these mega concerts and seeing not only the numbers, but also the energy around town, thanks to events like this, was really powerful.
I love that. It actually makes me want to ask you an additional question, if you don't mind. And that's that one of the things that I love about events is that they're great drivers for tourism. And what I mean by that is they're actually the trigger event that will cause someone to go ahead and book the trip. However, the 3 hours of the event or however long the specific event is, that's not a full experience. That's a piece of the experience. So as a destination, how do you make sure that while that 3 hours was the driver for the booking, that you're creating a holistic experience that goes far beyond just the event or concert that might be happening at that time?
Yeah, that's a really good question and is really key to leveraging these major events. We always talk about leveraging events like this and not just making them one-offs. And I mean, the key is to, you know, we are lucky enough in Chicago that Soldier Field is right on the lake with the backdrop of our amazing downtown right over there, right nearby. And so we're lucky to have a destination where, you know, it always leaves you wanting more. You always want to come back and really build off that. But I think the key, again, is to have those relationships with our community so that the restaurants and bars are prepared for these sort of events so that they're, you know, when you are going out before or after, that you're having a experience that leaves you really happy about your experience in Chicago. So it's so much more than just the concert, you know. Yeah. It's everything before and after. And it's, as I said, it's having these people then, maybe this is their first time in Chicago, or maybe they're, you know, regional, they're coming from downstate Illinois and they hadn't been in Chicago since COVID. And maybe what they heard was that downtown Chicago is a ghost town since COVID. And then they show up and that's not the case. And they're telling people they're coming back. They're excited about the city.
Great. Well, Isaac, congrats on an incredible event. The destination, I'm sure the team as a whole did a great job pulling this together. And I really appreciate you taking some time to share your experience and the impact of this this event with our show. I'm curious, is there anything that maybe I didn't ask you that should be shared with other destinations?
I've talked about it a little bit, but just, you know, wanting to be clear that we don't run these events, right? As a DMO, we're not booking concerts. We're not coordinating everything that is going on at these mega concerts, but still recognizing as a DMO, the role that you play in making them a success, but even more so making them have a lasting impact on your city. Just kind of recognizing that there is a role to play instead of just saying, oh, no, we don't organize that.
Great. Yeah, you can't have the that's not my job attitude, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isaac, thanks a lot. This has been fantastic. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So clearly, Chicago had a pretty amazing approach to having Taylor Swift in town. I want to get to our second destination. I've got Julie Calvert. She's the president and CEO of Visit Cincy. And they also had a really great approach and experience in having Taylor Swift in the destination. Julie, first of all, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate you being here. I do have to know, you know, before Taylor Swift came to town, were you a Swiftie? And after the experience that you've had and having Taylor Swift come to town, are you a Swiftie now?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on today to talk about, you know, just the complete phenomenon that we experienced here over the summer, you know, with Taylor Swift and all of the Swifties from what seemed like across the Midwest, you know, descending upon Cincinnati for 3 days in June and the beginning of July. And, you know, to answer your question, I would say that I always liked Taylor Swift. I always enjoyed her music, but I now consider myself a fully vested Swiftie. And to that point, I'm still wearing the bracelets. So
I love
it. So yes, I am. And, you know, it was just such a fun thing, you know, to experience with the city and all of that. But I'm sure we'll talk about the details of that moving forward. But I still think that there's still a halo, you know, over the city with regard to Taylor Swift. And, you know, I think there's a real desire here in the city to find some way to recreate that magic, you know, that was here. So the big buzz on stadium tours and things like that. But I do think that, you know, Taylor Swift and all that is really just its own force to be reckoned with, as obviously Tokyo is experiencing now with her concert kicking off just yesterday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, one of the things on that I wanted to ask you is there's lots of major destinations that when a tour is announced, they kind of know they're going to be one of the stops on the tour, right? For you in Cincinnati, did you know that Taylor Swift was going to come as part of her tour, or were you kind of surprised and delighted that you actually were going to be on the list?
Well, certainly we were delighted to find that out. And to be clear, we were the only city in all of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, you know, to host the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. And, you know, we have a great venue in Paycor Stadium. We are a city that's very centrally located, you know, in terms of the ease by which to get around. We do big events here in Cincinnati, for sure. We've hosted international events. We've hosted the All-Star Game in the past. And so our track record with hosting wide-scale events with ease and success is and was very, very good. I think the key, you know, really to us hosting that, it's all about relationships in any business. And the folks down at Paycor have a really, really good relationship with the company that books Taylor Swift. And so when they were looking at cities within the Midwest, I'm not sure that they looked at a different city other than Cincinnati. So certainly we were up to the challenge and we knew what we had to show and prove in order to be able to continue to host these types of events.
So if she was going to come to the Midwest, you felt like you had a pretty good shot of being one of the stops to accommodate.
Oh, you know, 100%. And, you know, it really is a very, very calculated and smart tour. We look at, you know, where she was performing across the nation, where you could get that really strong regional tour, you know, into this or regional draw for that tour into the cities, you know, Boston, New York, you know, then next thing after us was Kansas City. So that's about 8 hours from Cincinnati. So really a smart strategy to really be able to draw the entire nation in some way, shape or form into this tour, whether or not your city was hosting it. We certainly saw that here in Cincinnati.
Great. And I'm going to throw you some red meat here because I feel like I want to give you that opportunity. But why is Cincinnati, of course, a great place for Taylor Swift to choose to host one of her events? Why was it the right choice?
Well, I think there's several reasons that go into that. I mean, number one, our geographical location, you know, draws from the south all the way up through the north and then, you know, west into as far west as St. Louis, Kansas City, and then certainly to the east, to the coast. And we're, you know, we always say that, and this is a fact, that we are an hour's flight or a 4 hours drive of 60% of the nation's total population. So that certainly is a major draw into it. We are a city that has a successful track record of hosting wide-scale national and international events that are safe, that are successful, that offer ease of movement, if you will. We have a great number of hotel rooms. We were the number one market over that weekend for Airbnb across the nation. So that's that. The availability of accommodations are great. And just our restaurant scene, our arts, culture, our music scene is really strong in Cincinnati. And she's performed here before. It's been a while, but she's performed here before. So it wasn't sight unseen, you know, for Taylor Swift. And I think also, you know, just the welcoming of the city, of how we wrap our arms around these large events and embrace them. You know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. I'm not saying that she did this, but, you know, she could, if she wanted to, she could have walked around this city. And I think that she would have been relatively undisturbed versus that doesn't happen. I mean, you see what happens in New York City. They park outside of her condo. I mean, you've got a college student tracking every plane ride she makes now. And in Cincinnati, you know, we're pretty humble and pretty like, you know, when you're here, you're one of our own. And, I think that's comfortable, you know, for people who are performing here, whether it's, you know, musical performers or it's certainly, you know, stage performers. But, you know, Taylor Swift is really her own great force. And so I think that we just made it very easy and comfortable for her. And she's used to that type of environment.
Great. Very accessible destination. You've got the infrastructure to support an event like that. And of course, you've got the hospitality that makes it a comfortable place to be. I think those are great pillars to be an attractive destination for an event like this.
Yeah. And I think also when you look at where the venue was down at, we had this area between the two stadiums called the Banks, and it's a multi-acre park. So, you know, there's street infrastructure, there's park, it runs up to the Ohio River. There's plenty of parking. It's the nation's largest municipal parking garage underneath both stadiums. So lots of accessibility. And when you look at this whole craze that was taking over these Swifties, you know, creating their own concert, you know, sometimes 15, 20,000 people strong outside of those venues, it was a safe place for people to go and do that. We weren't like having it spill over into the highway, like, you know, MetLife or other stadiums were seeing. I mean, literally, that's what the Banks was built for, was to host and to really scale in those large, you know, attraction events. And so to have that park just kind of ready made for that, the merchandise trailer was set up there. Certainly lots of, you know, restaurants, bars, entertainment venues all along, you know, that multi-acre park. So it was the perfect setting for that, in addition to the other reasons that you just mentioned.
Awesome. Sounds like a great venue, great location for it. You know, I own an advertising agency, and when we pitch all the time to win big opportunities, right? And there's two very important moments when you win a big pitch. There's the first moment where everybody is celebrating and excited and, you know, ready to conquer the world. And then there's the second moment when it's like, we got a lot to do to prepare for this. And I've got to imagine that you had a similar coupling of moments when you found out that you guys were going to be one of the stops for Taylor Swift. So tell me about those two moments and then maybe a little bit about the preparation for the event.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we call that phenomenon of the second piece of, oh boy, we got a lot to do. We felt like the dog that caught the car, right? We finally caught the car. And so it's kind of like, oh boy, now what? You know, but again, I mean, that moment of seeing our name of Cincinnati among those lists of cities was unexpected. It was like winning the lottery. And, you know, you always buy that ticket in hopes that one day it's going to happen. But then when it does, it's like, you know, pinch me. Did this really happen? But then the preparation started right away for that. And we pulled together, you know, many groups across the city and across the region. And of course, you know, Cincinnati is on the banks of the Ohio River. So 40 feet away is the state of Kentucky. You know, about 30 minutes to the west is the state of Indiana. So really kind of pulling in the resources from the elected officials to this fire and safety folks, to the medical folks, to the engineering, the traffic, all of that, the hotel community, the restaurant community, the parks, you know, pulling everybody together saying, hey, you know, we need to really prepare. And it's not just the concert's the easy part. We can't control what's going on in the concert, but we got to control this environment. Because lots of people were going to come who didn't have tickets. And that may be their only experience with Cincinnati. We wanted that to be pleasant. We wanted it to be joyful. We wanted people to feel like this was their Taylor Swift experience. It was going to happen right in Cincinnati. So we were creating a memory for life. And so we took that very seriously. And, you know, our police department was fantastic, really turning them into ambassadors. They're always very good about giving people directions and helping people get to where they need to get to. I mean, there were people directing traffic at every intersection downtown to make sure that the ease into the stadium, into the parking was easy so people didn't remember the time as the time I came to Cincinnati and sat in traffic. I mean, that you know, nobody likes to see that. And nobody says that was their best experience ever. So again, we looked at this event holistically, both from everything happening outside of the stadium, you know, what was happening in the hotels. We decorated the lobbies of the hotels with, you know, Taylor Swift, you know, selfie stations. So you could do all that. There were events on Fountain Square where people could go and, you know, get their face painted, you know, make their friendship bracelets, have that experience on the heart of our city on Fountain Square, and then walk four blocks south and be in the banks where Swiftinati, you know, was taking off. And that was really a unique experience for us too, and it was really, really well received.
Okay, so that was my next question. I'm glad you kind of provided that segue there. How did Cincinnati become Swiftinati, and what was the brainstorming process for that like? What was the execution of that, and how much mileage did you get out of that?
Well, you know, first it was something that just occurred very naturally, you know, in the city. And, you know, everybody trying to make, you know, plays off of her name and things like that. We even played with Cincinnati, you know, making that. But Swiftinati really sort of, you know, really kind of won the day. And again, it really occurred very naturally. It wasn't like we all sat around in a room and said, okay, we got to rename Cincinnati. It's just something that just naturally started to happen. And then it got some legs and you got some people who are very passionate, you know, about, you know, Cincinnati, about creating those really almost like, you know, celebratory carnival-like, if you will, festival-like experiences where they set up, you know, bracelet making stations and face painting stations and places where you can buy hats and clothes and all sorts of things down there on the banks. And we had a very, very good partner in the folks that run the banks that really just said, hey, you know what? A lot of our restaurateurs and folks are very entrepreneurial. So let's just let this unfold very naturally. And again, with the full thought and the goal being, what's the experience going to be like for the people that are coming? And how can we make this the best experience for them, whether they've got a ticket, you know, or not? So, and in fact, they won an award for that whole experience they did down there at the banks. And I would imagine if there's another stadium tour where she has an opportunity to come back to Cincinnati, it'll be even bigger and better the next time because you've kind of got the footprint now, you know, for that and how it happened. But yeah. it was so neat to walk around and see because you saw all sorts of age ranges of people. You saw groups of women, you saw groups of kids, you saw a lot of women in their children. You know, everybody kind of like Taylor Swift bedazzled out, if you will. I mean, the big pink hats going on. And it was just a weekend that I would just describe as nothing less than joyful. I mean, there was a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. And I'm most proud to say that there wasn't one incident that involved the police in a negative matter. There was actually a story where somebody like dropped a wallet. Somebody picked it up, gave it to the police, and we were able to get that wallet back to somebody. There was no robbery. Oh, cool. There was no crime. So it was really a really joyful weekend.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, this conversion to Swiftinati, I know one of the things that you guys created in that process was the Swifty Guide to Cincinnati. That was an actual asset that you created. Yeah. How'd you decide to do that? What was the process like? And then did people like using it?
Yeah. So I think the beginnings of the Swifty Guide really came because we've had 2 years prior to this, you know, a really great run with the Bengals going to the Super Bowl. So we were creating a Bengals guide. You know, we were hosting playoff games here in Cincinnati. We had them go to the Super Bowl. They won the AFC championship, you know, 2 years in a row, or the division championship anyway. You know, so we did the same thing. All things, where can you experience the Bengals? Where can you feel like you're part of the excitement, even if you're not here? So we kind of took that footprint and said, okay, now let's apply that to people who don't necessarily like sports, right? They're into music and culture and that type of thing. So where to eat, where to stay, how to get around. You know, where are the Taylor Swift, you know, watch parties and what are the restaurants that are offering, you know, Taylor Swift themed foods or drinks or things like that? And it was all age ranges because you've got the moms, you know, who are looking for a nice weekend experience with their daughters or their sons, for that matter, like I did with my son, you know, or, you know, just groups of people who were coming just to experience the city. So anything from, you know, very family friendly offerings and environments to ones that are, you know, cater to the older crowd where they want to go and sit down and have a couple of drinks and some good food and just really enjoy the fact that they're here. So it was an all-encompassing guide. We put it on our website, and basically the website that weekend of Taylor Swift was the highest volume of traffic to our website that we've had in all of 2023. So they were really kind of flocking there to find the information. The average engagement time for our guide was 87% higher than the full site average. It was 1 minute and 43 seconds on the site, you know, versus just, you know, what do they say, like 20 to 30 seconds. So they were on, they were searching, they were looking for things, they were downloading pages, they were downloading information. And it was the only place in Cincinnati where there was a comprehensive guide to do that. And so I think it was a great service for our visitors for sure.
So you were clearly well prepared. I mean, you converted the city to Swiftinati. You created the Swifty Guide to Cincinnati. But it's almost like there's no amount of preparation that can prepare you for the phenomenon the day of and just how many people it is and how wild it is. Kudos to you guys for not having an event or an incident, I should say, that involved the police negatively or anything like that, because I think that's amazing. But what was it like to just have that many people descending upon the city? Was the day of what you expected? you know, tell me a little bit about the actual event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, the weather couldn't have been better. It was beautiful on that first, that Friday of the concert. It was just so gratifying. I mean, you work your whole career to promote a city, to create a place where people feel like they belong, a place where they feel like they can interact with people who are, they're sharing the same experience. So, you know, people who didn't know each other at all before they came to Cincinnati, maybe somebody's from Pittsburgh, somebody's from, you know, Chicago, or somebody's from Nashville, and they're meeting underneath this common love of Taylor Swift and the fact that they were, you know, one of 69,000 people out of all the fans in the world to be able to be with her that night within that stadium. And, you know, just to be there and watch the way that she interacted with these fans. I had somebody say to me, you know, because I was commenting about how, you know, when she would talk in that stadium, everything just quiet. I mean, it was like, you know, 70,000 people, you could have heard a pin drop, right? And I was like, I made the comment that it was amazing to me how she can quiet a crowd of 70,000 people. And somebody corrected me and said, no, she wasn't talking to 70,000. She was talking to me. She was talking to me. And so to have that type of control, you know, over the crowd and over your audience and to know your audience that well, it was what I would describe a life-changing experience for so many people. And again, that kind of played itself out in the fact that everybody was polite with one another. Nobody was pushing. Nobody was shoving. No incidents. It was just really a beautiful night, two nights in Cincinnati. And the second night on Saturday, there was bad weather that was predicted for about 11 o'clock. That night, which her concerts were to end at 11. So they bumped the concert back to start at 6:30, and nobody was late. Everybody got there, and she commented on that. She's, well, sorry we changed the time, but y'all got the message, and you're here, and everybody's in their seats and ready to go. And it was really special. I think we'd have a hard time recreating that type of magic in Cincinnati with another kind of event.
Yeah, I think there's not very many concerts like that that could change the time and still have everybody show up at the right time. I think that's amazing.
And it was like 2 hours ahead of the concert. There wasn't that much time. And the great thing about it is that the moment that concert ended at 10:30, about 15 minutes after that, 10:45, it started to rain.
Oh, man.
And so if we would have waited, people would have got rained on. And instead, they didn't. They were just, you know, showered in such a great time and a great experience. It was really nice to see.
Wow. Okay, let's talk economic impact then, Julie. I mean, of course, this generated a lot of revenue for the city of Cincinnati. What do the estimates look like now that you're kind of through the experience looking back? What kind of lift did you see?
So hotel occupancy in downtown Cincinnati was 98%. So basically, it was a complete sellout.
Yeah.
92% throughout the rest of the county. So the compression that it created was really phenomenal and fantastic, you know, for sure. It generated more than $2.5 million in hotel revenue just for downtown, which, to put that in perspective, that's over two nights, $2.5 million in hotel revenue. That's probably a couple weeks of hotel stays to generate what we were able to generate through this concert in one night, and then $5.3 million over 2 days throughout the county. So those are numbers we just haven't seen.
Wow.
But I also want to keep in mind that there was actually, that was during the time where the Reds were on that big run, and they went from last place to first place.
Yes.
And there were three sold out games that weekend. So that was also going on in Cincinnati. Our professional soccer team, FC Cincinnati, had a sellout game on Saturday night of the concert. So we weren't only negotiating, you know, the tens of thousands, you know, of Swifties that were here over two nights. I mean, there were a lot of fans,
yeah,
you know, for both the sports teams that were coming in to play. And there was also another concert down at the Banks at another smaller music venue that we have where people were negotiating all of that. So there was kind of like this perfect confluence of opportunity to create some lift for the restaurants, the hotels, the entertainment venues. But again, just making, again, that's where the planning was crucial,
yeah,
you know, from a traffic flow standpoint, to make sure that people were getting where they needed to get to very easily and very efficiently. Getting back to the economics, I mean, $3.8 million in tax revenue, you know, including $1.6 million in just local taxes generated alone, $1.4 million in state taxes, nothing to sneeze at there, and $750,000, almost $1 million in federal taxes, you know, that were generated, you know, which all that money goes back into the city, goes back into the state, you know, to fix roads and create infrastructure and do that. So, I mean, you talk about somebody moving the GDP of the nation. I mean, when this is happening in every city, you know, that certainly is something that's good for an economic boost. And we were, you know, here in Cincinnati, just, you know, proud to be able to provide that.
Amazing. That those are incredible numbers that you're pulling there. I've got to ask though, if Taylor Swift had dated Joe Burrow instead of Travis Kelce, what do you think those numbers would look like?
Oh boy, probably off the, I mean, more than off the charts for sure. I mean, I think, you know, for a city like Cincinnati, I mean, you know, it's very different than say the city of Chicago or New York, but I think we probably would have eclipsed what that was seeing. And you know, it's funny because Joe Burrow made a funny comment and you might've heard it, but he was basically saying, yeah, I don't know, I may stop by, you know, versus, you know, Kelce, like actually making her, you know, the friendship bracelet with the number on it. So certainly, you know, he swung big and caught the big fish for sure. But, you know, but Joe's our guy. He's, you know, he's our guy.
Yeah. Just got to update that Tinder profile. See if we can't get a more high profile. No, just kidding. Well, Julie, this is really incredible. I think the question that I would have now, you know, sometimes we're victims of our own success, right? And of course, you had Taylor Swift come to town and you had all this economic impact. And one thing that's so interesting about stakeholders is that once you give them a taste, they kind of expect those results on an ongoing basis. So How are you managing expectations after that experience so that people aren't expecting that every weekend you should be 98% capacity?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think generally, you know, people realize that that's sort of a once in a generational thing that's going to happen. But yet it gives you the permission to keep thinking big and dreaming big because we know we can do this. And, you know, coming up this summer, you know, Luke Combs has picked several cities across the United States to do a stadium tour. He's coming to Cincinnati for two nights in August. You know, our stadiums, both at Great American Ballpark, Paycor, where the Bengals play, and then at TQL Stadium where FC plays, all have big stadium concerts this summer.
Great.
So from, you know, Kenny Chesney's coming to Cincinnati. You've got the Foo Fighters coming to Cincinnati. You've got Luke Bryan is now coming to Cincinnati. Luke Combs will be here. So there's lots of concerts that are coming that, you know, we've never seen this many at one time. So you have to think that had some sort of an impact on those promoters and those people who are booking these concerts saying, look at how the city shows up to do that. And, you know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemies in this town to say, well, we could never do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't happen in Cincinnati. And now that you see these successes that are happening from the All-Star game to, you know, safe sold out playoff games, you know, 2 years in a row with the Bengals, you know, there is a belief that we can win and we can do this. And people want to be part of that success versus sitting back and pointing fingers and saying, what are you doing for me lately? They're saying, hey, how can I help?
Yeah.
How can I, what can I do? And so that's kind of that's a good thing that we're seeing. And it makes, you know, the folks in this town that are responsible for making sure that Cincinnati's top of mind, you know, whether it's for a convention, you know, some kind of a tour or the Broadway series, that we're making sure that we're pushing and we're making those things happen and we're all doing it together.
Yeah, you're describing that a lot of these successful events and things like that have come to town are having an impact on community pride as a whole, which results in more positive sentiment towards the community. What would be a really cool study to look at is how does that increase in community pride or sentiment towards the community affect the visiting friends and relatives category, which is sometimes so difficult to measure and capture.
Yeah.
Of course, we're not going to solve that on this conversation, but man, that would be kind of an interesting number to look at.
Yeah. I mean, even anecdotally, you see it, you feel it. So, I mean, from that perspective, you know, it's really a good thing. I think it is real. People want to be associated with things that are considered winners. And certainly Cincinnati is, you know, I'm not really a big fan of this term, but I'll use it because it makes sense. But punching above its weight class, which, you know, I think that's rooted in negativity. The fact of the matter is we deserve to be at the position that we're in because we've worked hard. We create good experiences. We welcome people. People feel like they belong here. It's just the charm and the ease of the city. And we've created, you know, hundreds of thousands of new fans for Cincinnati who will want to come back here now. And hey, I want to check out that restaurant. There's this Broadway show that's playing and it's not in my town. And I had a great experience in Cincinnati. I'm going to go back and explore for the weekend. And in the Swiftie guide to Cincinnati really kind of highlighted those things too, that, you know, while you're here, yeah, you're here for the concert, but also, you know, check out the zoo, our museums, our parks, you know, our guided walking art tours. We have a lot of street art, you know, here in Cincinnati, and murals along our walls. And each of those, if you get on that tour, tells the history and the story of Cincinnati all the way from our riverfront up through our historic Over the Rhine neighborhood. So there's too much to do for one weekend, but now you've got that guide in your hand and you're looking for that next city to go to for a long weekend or whatever. You've got professional sports, professional arts and culture. That's the place I want to go to.
Fantastic. Julie, congrats on an amazing event and a really what sounds like an amazing destination. I haven't been to Cincinnati, but it's definitely a place that I want to add to the list after this conversation. If people want to learn more about you or visit Cincy or anything related to Cincinnati, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, I think a couple of ways. I mean, certainly we've got all of our social media handles on Instagram and Facebook at Visit Cincy, and certainly our website at visitcincy.com. Is really the most comprehensive place to learn about everything there is in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and across our region. When we talk about it, it's all about our culture, our Cincy culture. And you can really learn, you know, where culture reigns, you know, in the city, whether it's sports, music, festivals, arts, culinary. We got the bourbon in Northern Kentucky. We've got the beer in Cincinnati. So that mashup of stuff really tells a great story for a city that's right in the middle of the Midwest that, to your point, you may not expect to have that type of energy, but certainly we do.
Great. Well, I'm a BYU alumnus, and so now Cincinnati and BYU are in the same conference, so I intend to make a trip to come see a game. So
there you go. There
I'm
you
looking
go.
Forward to it, and thanks again, Julie, for taking
okay.
the time.
Okay. Thanks so much, Adam.
And thanks, everybody, for listening today. I hope that you were able to gather just how important it is to have a very intentional strategy when big major events or windfalls like this happen in a destination. You know, both of these destinations gave us great examples of how they prepared, executed, and delivered on an incredible experience to support having Taylor Swift come to town. And I hope you also just caught the gravity of having an icon like Taylor Swift come to town. It was an incredible episode, an incredible tour, and I hope you guys really enjoyed listening to today's episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week.